Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Mark Reardon Show is on now.
Cavorting in the studio when we have to start the Reardon Roundtable on a beautiful Friday afternoon in St. Louis. Good afternoon. Hi, Sue Thomas. How are you?
Fine. Thank you, Mark.
Before I introduce the panel, and she rode her bike in today. It was a good move, I think, too.
It's beautiful out there.
Was it the e-bike?
Yeah. Yes.
It was
there was
the
a
e-bike.
Guy on a little scooter who passed me. But he was not on an e-bike, Mark. It was an actual engine. I have a little electric battery.
And there's no rain on the forecast. Last time you did this, we had like thunderstorms that moved in right at 6 o'clock, right? You're okay? You're safe today, I think?
I think so.
Okay. All right. We're going to keep our fingers crossed. Well, it is a Friday in the 3 o'clock hour. That means a Reardon Roundtable. And let me introduce the panel. Jane is not here today. I was kind of setting this up for our newbie, and I said, look, the only rule on the roundtable is don't talk over one another. And Jane's not here, so we don't really have that issue. Donna Berenger is here. State Rep, how are you?
I am fantastic, Mark.
Alderman Jack Coder is also with us this afternoon. Jack, good to see you.
Good to be here, Mark.
I had the wrong mic off there.
You got me on there.
Did you turn your own mic off?
I wouldn't even know how to do that.
Don't touch things like that, okay?
I don't touch any buttons.
Yeah, and I admit, we have a newbie to break in on the roundtable this afternoon. He's certainly not new to politics or anything like that. He is State Representative Shamed Dogan from the Baldwin area. He's running for St. Louis County Executive. That was the news from a couple of weeks ago. How are you, Shamed? Great to have you in the studio. We've never met in person, so it's awesome to have you.
Doing great. Thanks, Mark.
Well, thank you for coming in. Jack, I'm going to start here with the topic of crime in St. Louis. Seems to be pretty pervasive. And I wish I had his number. If anyone has his number, please share it. I tweeted this out to my good friend Jeff Pegues from CBS News. One of the two CBS correspondents, Bill Whitaker, the other, who came in, swooped into St. Louis and did this puff piece on Kim Gardner and how she's the social justice warrior and she's the victim. Now, a couple of times since, I've had to alert Mr. Pegues and Mr. Whitaker, and it's weird. I haven't heard back from them yet. And today's basically said, it was an invite. I said, hey, Jeff Pegues, your pal Kim, a.k.a. at St. Louis CA, continues to completely suck at her job. That might be generous.
That's an understatement.
Right. You might remember your story about her was total fake news. Open invitation to come correct that. You can even stay at my house. It would be fun. And I extend that. I have plenty of room. Mr. Pegues, plenty of room. But I can joke about this, and I have, and I will continue to. But this is pretty serious, because this story that I tweeted out, and Jack, we've talked about this for years.
Extensively.
Now, about... And you're a former prosecutor, too.
I am.
All the prosecutors that are leaving this office, leaving it in worse shape than it already was in. So what happens now?
What's your reaction to this story? Well,
the
story is not surprising. I mean, and frankly, it's even worse than what's being reported. But I thought Joel Courier and Janelle O'Day's piece in the Post-Dispatch today was really, really well done. Full of interesting facts and good stats and just about the alarming turnover in that office. And I thought it was really interesting that the headline of the article, "The Onslaught is Coming," is a direct quote from the circuit attorney's own high-paid PR person. That's the headline. And the onslaught is coming. This is going to get worse. And the problem is the staffing shortages and the incompetence and the mismanagement of this circuit attorney, it permeates our criminal justice system. You know, what Tashara Jones and Dan Isom and Heather Taylor and the high-ranking, you know, public officials in this city could have the best of intentions. They could come up with the best plans. We could flood downtown with cops. But until you've got a prosecutor that's going to be a willing partner and work with law enforcement, we can't accomplish much, which is really scary.
And I, this has been driving me nuts. So this was not news to most of us, what happened here.
Well,
not
no,
at all.
I
it's
understand.
Just gotten right. worse. So I finally said to someone, you know, even if, you know, we go to court, she doesn't have to step down. Who can ultimately take her and remove her from office? And it's the Missouri Supreme Court.
Yeah.
That's who can remove her, and that's who we need to talk to.
What's the process for that?
Well, so that, I mean, under state law, the only way to remove a prosecutor from office, which, by the way, is an extraordinary step, because having independent prosecutors is critically important, I think, to the functioning of our system, because if they're doing their jobs correctly, they are holding so many, we are relying on them to hold so many public officials accountable. The only way to remove a prosecutor is through indictment or disbarment. And I don't know of any indictments coming, but I do know that she has a hearing in front of the Missouri Supreme Court, I believe, in February, with the future of her law license at stake. And it has to do with not only her lying to the court and withholding evidence in the Eric Greitens criminal case that she brought and later dropped, but I think more consequentially, it has to do with the fact that she lied to the chief disciplinary counsel, Alan Pratzel, which is several of the counts of his 70-plus page complaint against her.
But Jeff,
she lied to him.
Couldn't this take years, though? In other words, this could go on for a whole year. But tomorrow, the Missouri Supreme Court could say, we're done.
No, she's entitled to a hearing. So they're setting a hearing, and I believe it's February. They can't just sua sponte take her license. She's entitled to a hearing.
Ooh, that's a big legal word. I'll have to look
she'll get a hearing.
I think I dated sua sponte at Mizzou in like 1987.
Yeah, so she'll get her hearing, and as she's entitled to, but she doesn't really have any level of appeal beyond the Supreme Court. That's as high as you can go. Interestingly, I was still on this topic. Just this afternoon, I think this was in the Post, or someone told it to me, Judge Stelzer finally ruled, which has been sitting in front of him for a couple of weeks, that she's not entitled to outside prosecutors. She's basically trying, she's saying now, I'm so short-staffed, I need other people to do my job that I got elected to do.
Oh, okay.
And the courts have said enough's enough, you can't do that.
All right, Shemette, I want to get your reaction, but let me read a little bit, because this is a pretty damning story to Jack's point. It says, Gardner now employs over 30 attorneys with 150 years of combined tenure. 5 years ago, more than 60 prosecutors had worked for the circuit attorney for cumulative 500 years. Gardner won the election by promising to revolutionize prosecution. Now she has half of the attorneys on staff with one-third of the collective tenure. She spends hundreds of thousands of dollars on outside contracts, often with law firms that defend her from political and legal embroilment. Her prosecutors have missed hearings, showed up unprepared, and quit. Police are angry that Gardner isn't taking more cases. Defense attorneys are frustrated with delays, and victims feel forgotten. Now, that's all in one paragraph. And we, Donna, you've known, we've all in this room, we've known about this. If you listen to a show like this, you've known about this coming. So this should not be big news. I would also argue, as you're a candidate for St. Louis County Executive, that Wesley Bell is not too far behind Kim Gardner on this. They're focusing on Kim Gardner right now.
Well, I think, you know, first of all, I'm not a city resident, so I don't get into the weeds of everything that's going on with Kim, but I read the articles like you. And it is shocking and it's disappointing. As somebody who is a big supporter of criminal justice reforms and police reforms, you know, you want to see those policies implemented in a way that is smart on crime, so we're not just locking people up for petty stuff. But I've never heard anybody who believes in criminal justice reform say, you know what, we ought to just legalize murder. That's not what it's about. And when you essentially do that, when you're not prosecuting murderers and holding them accountable, the whole thing just, you know, falls apart.
And this is where I get frustrated, too, because I feel, you know, Shemette, libertarian, conservative, is that's fair, right? Because I describe myself as that. I don't want you to feel. But there are people on the conservative side that do believe in criminal justice reform, that have moved it forward, right? You're an example of that.
And this
with
ain't
the cannabis
it.
Laws. No, this is not
No, this is incompetence.
And it's driving everybody further apart, because if we're going to have solutions in this city to the crime problem, you have to have people working together. So now you got the mayor with her blue ribbon panel or whatever, and the social justice warriors come out and they say, we don't want more cops. So how does Mayor Jones respond to that? Or where does this leave us,
well,
Jack?
I mean, the whole thing
is a joke.
Look, the mayor and I have certainly had our disagreements, but I'll give credit where credit's due. And on this one, you know, her base and the folks that helped get her elected are vehemently opposed to her putting more police downtown. And thus far, she's holding the course. And I think she will continue to do so, because I really do believe her office at least understands the importance of saving downtown.
No, wait a minute. You just used the word more police. So let's clarify that, because I had a neighborhood meeting last night and we have a neighborhood officer, and he informed all of us that he will not be able to work with us for the next month because he's been removed and moved downtown. So we don't have more police. We're taking the police we have and redistributing
them. Right, that's a good point. Yeah. I mean, I've been clear on that. I mean, look, these officers, they're very limited resources. They're coming from somewhere else. And yes, unfortunately, if you're going to put more police downtown, that's not like we're magically hiring more people. That would be great. But yes, they're coming from other neighborhoods.
Right.
So no, there's no way not, getting around, there's no
so,
getting around
so
that.
We're going to do like we have done before. We'll just move the crime.
Most likely, yes.
Yeah.
Those are some great solutions. St. Louis Alderman Jack Coder, State Reps Donna Behringer and Shamed Dogan on the panel. Meantime, I want to kind of expand this out to COVID right now and where we are. And obviously, there have been mask efforts in St. Louis County. Shamed, I'll start with you on this. The Attorney General keeps winning his court cases. There was another attempt this week. Now you have some controversy on this council about the former auditor as well. But let me start with the COVID situation. The numbers are declining right now, and there is no mask mandate. That doesn't seem possible, according to the Democrats. What do you say about that?
Yeah, I mean, I think we need to follow the science. And, you know, the justification for a mask mandate as a kind of catch-all response to COVID has never made that much sense. The response and the long-term way out of COVID is getting as many people as possible vaccinated. And to the extent that we're focusing on masks, we're not focusing on vaccination. And in a lot of ways, it's undermined the case for vaccination, because we were told just a few months ago by the CDC, by everybody in authority, that people who are vaccinated don't need to wear masks because their likelihood of spreading and catching COVID is dramatically decreased. And then they kind of did a 180 for what I contend are political reasons and said, never mind, everybody get masked up no matter what, because, you know, you're not protected even if you're vaccinated. And when you tell people you're not protected if you're vaccinated even, then what's the point? That it leads to increased hesitancy. And that's what we're dealing with now, is we still have these folks who are, you know, just dug in. And I'm glad the county's doing a vaccine incentive program, just like the state did one. They're going to start that actually this weekend. So they're doing some free clinics all over the county, but focusing on North County. Councilwoman Webb gets the lion's share of the credit for that. That was her legislation. So hopefully that will work.
Yeah. Does anybody know if we've seen the needle move? Do we have any kind of data on what those incentives have provided when it comes to increasing? But, and I'm fine with some of them, and I've advertised some of them, the state program in particular. But I don't know if we're seeing any results from it. I honestly don't know. Anybody on the panel know?
I think the vaccination rates have ticked up a little bit. And is it a correlation or is it causation? I can't really say. But, you know, the rates aren't up as much as they need to be. So.
And also remember that you can go to Walgreens and take your own test and never go to the hospital. So there's a lot of people that have had this variant that you'll never going to know about, because they went, they took the test, they stayed home, and all is good. They didn't call the doctor, they didn't call the hospital, and we're not going to.
Right.
Know.
So, you know, I think if I would go back even 4 weeks, certainly 6 weeks, I was very worried about what this fall was going to mean, just with events starting to cancel and things along those lines. We're getting very positive numbers right now. Now, we don't know if there's another variant lurking. I read something in the LA
Times
today.
Positive numbers meaning?
Well, in other words,
decreasing.
They're decreasing. Yeah. The decreasing numbers, and it's happening nationwide. So this is a good thing. In fact, I even highlighted this yesterday on the show. There are some folks who do these models, and I think some of the models have been wrong and some of the models have been right, that are very encouraging with how we're going to progress into the fall and even into next March, with these numbers continuing to drop. Now, this thing has been rather unpredictable, but I went to a music festival last weekend, and it was really my first foray into live music with a bunch of people in 20 months. And it felt good and it felt normal, and I didn't have to wear a mask because it was outside. So do you have more hope that that's the direction we're heading, Jack Coder?
Yeah, I do. I'm hopeful. I mean, it is interesting sitting here in the city where, you know, we just haven't had these sort of mask controversies that we're seeing in St. Louis County. But I think Shamed's exactly right. We got to be focused on vaccinations. I mean, and that still remains, you know, really challenging. We've got people who are now clamoring for their booster shot, those who are in early to get vaccinated and are happy to get their booster. You know, we're just talking about that, and there's a lot of confusion swirling around that. Yet we still have a huge percentage of our population that hasn't gotten their first dose. And we've got to keep communicating with those folks and encouraging them to get their shot, whatever possible, whether that's incentives or celebrities, you know, endorsing these things.
Don't you feel, though, that a lot of those folks, I mean, I think they're dug in. I don't think they're going to change their minds.
Maybe they are. I don't know. It's scary.
I think that's a smaller percentage of the unvaccinated than people who just need more evidence and need more persuasion. And I think one of the things that's been shown to work is if you have neighbors, if you have family members who are just making the case to you, telling you, hey, I got it. It's okay. You know, I maybe got a little bit sick. Maybe I got a little bit of side effects, but
right.
It didn't kill me. COVID could have killed me. That's the message you need to get. And
well,
you can't
right.
be condescending to people.
And not only that, you know, the other thing that's, I think two things are undersold in this whole thing. One, that natural immunity is important too. Two, that even if you don't end up in the hospital, there are long hauler effects to your lungs and other things that certainly are possible.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Hang on. Two more segments on the Reardon Roundtable to go. Well, at least one of our panelists is going to see the Stones this weekend. Donna Behringer, you said you have your tickets for Sunday night, right?
Yes, I do.
She's wearing her hat this afternoon. You have seen the boys, Mick and the boys, minus one of the boys, at least one time, but it's been a long time ago, right?
27 years ago, I went to Voodoo Lum.
And that was at the Checker Dome, wasn't it?
I actually was in Columbia, South Carolina.
Oh, that's where you saw it.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember. I think they did come here. So I was telling you, one thing a lot of people don't remember is they played Columbia, Missouri in the mid-1990s at Furrow Field, which was epic. It was great. Yeah, everybody's got the same look. Really, that happened? It happened. I know I make a lot of things up, but it really happened. I was like in the 12th row. It was one of the better Stone shows that I've seen. Alderman Jack Coder is here, State Rep Donna Behringer, and State Representative Shamed Dogan, who's running for county exec in St. Louis County. Jack, just quickly here, I saw this story. We were talking about it during the break about perhaps criminalizing the act of simply walking by people's cars and trying to lift up the handle, because this is what burglars do, right? When they're trying to steal cars or stuff from cars.
Correct.
So is this something that passed the Board of Aldermen?
It did. It passed the Board of Aldermen today. I think it was just perfected today, so we got to vote on it one more time, but it had plenty of votes to final pass. It was sponsored by my colleague from the 16th Ward, who took over for Representative Behringer. And look, this is not a cure-all, but at the end
of
the day—
Who is that?
Alderman Oldenburg.
Okay.
Sorry.
Right.
Tom Oldenburg from down in St. Louis Hills. You know, and he was very clear during this debate today, and it had overwhelming support. It had close to 20 votes, I think, at the board. You know, this is not going to, you know, cure what ails us in St. Louis, but it's just one more tool in our toolbox, because this is something that continuously happens, and it's often captured on people's, you know, Ring doorbells and things. So you'll see somebody come down the street, check a bunch of cars looking for ones opened, and then when the cops do catch him, you know, they didn't see him go through all those other cars or try them. And if you've got the footage now, it's just one more charge, and it's a municipal charge, so we don't have to go deal with the prosecutor.
Oh, there's an advantage right there. I was going to ask you, it's a good thing to have another law that's not going to be prosecuted, right?
No, this would be a municipal citation, so you'd go to the city council.
So I saw this story. I'm going to toss this out there, and I'm going to put even money on something here in just a second, but here's the story from this morning. Several hundred students, tired and angry about racist acts, walked out of Parkway Central High School in protest. This was yesterday, one day after racist graffiti was found in bathrooms in two schools. Some students cursed and shouted at school administrators, others brought to tears. Superintendent Keith Marty, I know Dr. Marty a little bit, released a letter to parents reporting the slurs on bathroom walls. And he said, students and staff are hurt, angry, feeling outnumbered by those who seem willing to stand by and watch without taking action to stop it. So they're out of, I think they're, are they out of class today? They walked out of class yesterday. I think I'm confusing that with SLU because they don't have classes. Here's my wager, okay? And we'll see. I hope there is a police investigation of this. I don't know if people know this, but a lot of times turns out that it's a black kid that does this. In fact, in most of the cases that I'm familiar with that have gotten public. So we'll see what happens, because we had this story from a few weeks ago with, remember the noose story from Lafayette? Remember that story? It was in the Post. Somebody put a noose up in a tree. There were actually two, but they certainly looked like exercise ropes, and there was nothing that ever came of that. We never heard about it again. And I want to know the answers to this. Anyone have an opinions on this one? I'm just saying, from my media, is no one wants to go on a limb here. From my media experience, when you have cases like this, they often don't turn out how people expect.
Yeah, but
so I'm going
kids
on the record as saying that right now.
Well, these kids out in Parkway have said that there have been other incidents before this, and that they've just felt unwelcomed. I know a decent amount of those students are from the city. They're being bused out there to the county, and there's always challenges that come with that. So we'll just wait to see what happens. Who knows? And the other thing is, if it did happen, was it just one kid?
Right.
Or was it, you know, several people involved? You know, so
well,
all
I
those
think
details
they
are important.
They need to investigate it. Oh, and,
sure.
And I think people deserve answers on this. But I just went on the record as saying it would not shock me if this thing goes in the other direction, because the gut instinct here is that that's typically how they go. All right, let's talk about some other things here as we move through the afternoon. The falling numbers for our good friend Joe Biden, the president. Don, I'll start with you on this, because I don't know if you want to defend any of the actions from the past 6 weeks. The president's numbers are cratering. There was a real interesting event on The View today with the vice president. I can get to that here in a second. I don't know if people have heard about that.
I missed that.
What would you say as we head into this fall, with this president even taking heat now from a lot of folks on your side for manufactured outrage on the border? But anyway, what would you say about that?
Well, the only thing I've been telling people is that Biden is trying to rule as a moderate Democrat. So he has a slew of progressive Democrats that are angry with him. And then you have the right wing Republicans that aren't going to like anything he does. So he's in a peculiar position. And so everything that's going down, I kind of see why.
But don't you think he's in a peculiar position because he's not doing a very good job right now? I mean, there are things that are happening that are really kind of indefensible on
a variety
of topics.
I mean, the situation on the border, as we're watching it on the TV screen here in studio, these problems didn't start overnight. They didn't even necessarily start on his watch. But some of this is communication, right? Like, if you are trying to make the problem better, if you're trying to fix it and you have ideas, let people know what they are. You know, you can't just pretend like it's going well while we're looking at images of, you know, federal agents on horseback, you know, whipping people.
Well, but that's not what happened, but we can have another discussion about that.
Okay. Is that not what happened?
No,
I'm not sure what it looks like.
Well, see, sure, it looks, this is what everything looks like something until it doesn't look like that. That's my point. You need to dig deeper. There's an explanation for that. And most people are never going to hear the explanation. They weren't whipping people.
I think it's a misperception. The past perception under the last president was, you anti-immigrant, you know, we don't want you, get out of here. It was very hostile.
No. Hang on. Quick correction.
Uh-oh.
Quick correction. Anti, no, this is important.
Okay, go ahead.
Anti-illegal. Okay. You get the difference between crossing the border like the Haitians are in Del Rio and going through the process. I have many friends who have gone through that process. They're proud Americans. Mm-hmm. There's a big difference. Your side never uses that word. Go ahead.
All right. So then we have a new president that comes in, which is Biden, who is, through the lens of an immigrant, is much friendlier. And I think that perception is getting out there that, hey, the states wants all of us. Come on, let's cross the border. And I think that's what the problem is right now. They're not realizing, while we would love for all of you to be able to come over here legally and with all the papers, we can't handle what's happening
right now.
The
bottom line is, Shamet Dogan, we have an open border. I mean, they say there's no open border. Isn't there an open border right now?
More or less. And I think the problem was bad enough that Biden's envoy to Haiti resigned in disgrace and disgust. So there's a serious problem. Joe Biden said he was going to fix it. You know, he was supposed to be the guy who understands how government works and was going to restore sanity and competency to the government. And we're just not seeing that. We're seeing the old man Biden, you know, kind of the stereotypical Biden, the guy who stumbles his words and kind of gets lost. And it's an unfortunate situation. The other thing I'll say is the defeat that the Democrats are trying to snatch from the jaws of victory on infrastructure. They have an infrastructure bill that's been worked out. It was bipartisan, one of the few bipartisan things that the Congress managed to do. And you've got these progressive Democrats holding it up, holding it hostage for this bill that's super unpopular. Like, why don't you take the win, folks?
Anybody have any thoughts on how that's going to end? Because I don't know.
I don't either. And I don't understand it. I'm looking at it like, okay, you got a billion, almost $2 billion deal, trillion-dollar deal you could get passed, but you're holding out for a $3.5 trillion deal you cannot get passed. I don't understand it at all. But I guess that's why I'm a centrist Democrat and I'm not in charge of anything.
Well, I think there's risk moving forward here for the administration, because I don't know how they satisfy everybody on this.
You can't.
Yeah,
no,
you can't. So, and
you can't.
They're getting pinned
so
down.
So what is the stalemate worth, and what's it going to do to us?
That's and while we're having, you know, while Washington's having these debates, you know, everyone in middle America and any other city in this country wants to see them get stuff done. We've got critical infrastructure needs. We've got crumbling bridges and roads and rails that need to be fixed, and we're desperately looking for some funds, whether it's $2 trillion or $3.5 trillion. Let's get moving.
And when we do that infrastructure, those are good paying jobs.
Yeah
and we passed a gas tax increase here in Missouri, you know, over the objections of some, but I think it's going to be something that's going to be beneficial, and people can get a refund. That's the innovative thing about it. If they don't want to pay the taxes, they can get a refund back.
So a lot can change between now and a year from now, when we're going to be approaching these midterm elections. But private polling is picking up double-digit drops in Biden performance in competitive House seats. And Republicans are looking at polling all the time that is very favorable, you know, because of defund the police and some of the other things. But here's a guy, and this is for our Democrat friends, Jack and Donna here, that ran, and I think a lot of people bought into this, that, you know, this is not going to be a reality show. We're going to have someone who is going to bring normal back to Washington. But now he hasn't been there even a year, and there's not really a return to normal. There's some chaos. People are anxious. You didn't have all the COVID things that were buttoned up. Now you're heading into a situation where these pieces of legislation are somewhat questionable. You want to jack taxes up on a lot of people. So he is struggling with public approval. Now, if this was Trump, and when Trump was struggling, and some of these numbers, by the way, are worse than Trump, you'd hear that on the news all the time. But the reality is it's happening, and the American people are disappointed in this president. Do you agree with that?
Well, the numbers are telling us that they're not happy. So, I mean, that's the reality. But I can't stop going back to, you know, there's so many things we need to do, and we are so polarized. And if he doesn't have a House and a Senate that he can work with, and if they can't work amongst themselves, then we are at a logjam. And his numbers are sinking because of it.
And I would say that maybe he's not the most effective president and they could be doing better. But I would say actually things are kind of returning to normal while we've been sitting here. We're talking about an actual infrastructure bill that, well, it hasn't passed yet, but it's actually being debated by Congress. We're talking about actual issues on the border, not some fantasy to build a wall. But what are we really going to do to shore up the border and fix our broken immigration system? These are actual policy debates that we didn't have under the previous administration.
By the way, in 2017, Trump's approval rating had plummeted to just 37%. So at this point in his presidency, the numbers were very low. But by a year later, in October 2018, he had climbed 6 points. So obviously, you could have changes, things that propel this in a different direction. Hang tight.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
One more segment of a Friday Reardon Roundtable coming up. I mentioned it was a little weird on The View. The vice president was supposed to be interviewed with, let's face it, it's the most definitive political talk show out there, The View. Here's what happened, though.
There seems to be something happening here that I'm not 100% aware of. Can someone please apprise me of the situation?
I need the two of you to step off for a second.
Okay. Anna and
we're going to bring
Sonny
you back later.
Have to leave.
Yeah. Yes.
This is going to be a major news story any minute now.
Yeah.
What happened is that Sonny and Anna both apparently tested positive for COVID. No matter how hard we try, these things happen. They probably have a breakthrough case, and they'll be okay, I'm sure, because they're both vaccinated up the wazoo. You know, a lot of vaccines. So, and the vice president is being prepped for her arrival, right?
Yep.
They cleaned the table. We watched. They did the hands. Everybody's getting all cleaned up.
Yeah, good thing they cleaned the hands and the table because that has nothing to do with it. No one's getting this thing from surfaces. Good to follow the science, Joy. But kind of a strange situation. Wouldn't you want to do that test maybe 10 or 15 minutes before you did it, maybe in half an hour?
Because you go on air.
This apparently happened while they were live on the air. So Anna Navarro and Sonny Hostin asked to leave the set. And, well, Joy Behar, she's got to be high risk. Do you know how old she is?
Nope.
78 years old.
She looks great.
Well, I don't think I'd go that far, but 78 years old, sir.
My big takeaway from that clip is I did not know we were supposed to get our vaccines up our wazoos.
Right. There's some news. Let's stick with media here. I almost feel like I have to do some speed rounds here. Chris Cuomo has responded to allegations of sexual harassment by his former boss at ABC News. Shelley Ross, and there was a New York Times piece today, she wrote, says that Cuomo grabbed and squeezed her ass at, I think she's used the word behind, but it was her ass, at a 2005 holiday party, telling her, I can do this now that you're no longer my boss. It was in front of her husband. Now, we know that this happened because Chris Cuomo wrote her an email that she saved and is printed in the New York Times admitting that it happened. And he said also as an additional comment, as Shelley acknowledges, our interaction was not sexual in nature. It happened 16 years ago in a public setting when she was a top executive at ABC. I apologized to her and then I meant it. Now, I do not like Chris Cuomo at all. The Cuomo. I'm not a fan of Chris Cuomo. I think he's a cocky, arrogant, you know what? But I'm also a little conflicted on this one. I really am, because what he did was clearly inappropriate. I'm not going to argue that. But he did apologize right away. And then she brings this back 16 years later.
Well, and she speaks about this in her article. I read her essay today after getting the list of topics from you. I didn't even know about this controversy. But one of the things Ms. Ross says in her article is, you know, she would have was going to let this go until he's on this tour defending his brother, talking about how he takes issues of sexual harassment so seriously. He's got his truth shirt on. He's trying to be holier than thou, when in reality his actions, whether 16 years ago or not, don't match what he's now saying.
Well, and that's legitimate. That's a legitimate complaint. Mm-hmm. Do you think it causes CNN to do anything to Chris Cuomo?
I mean, they haven't already, which is ridiculous. I mean, the fact that he was advising his brother and that— whole inherent conflict of interest. And
I have more of an issue with all that, stinks. By the way.
Yeah.
Well, the ratings are not good.
I watch CNN, and when his show comes on, I turn it off. He's just not an entertaining guy. Like, why are they keeping him around?
Maybe the last name has something to do with it. I don't know. Well, just a guess.
You know, you asked that question, and I think that we may have, you know, in the future some more definitive answers on that, because this business is a ratings game,
yeah.
And the ratings have been falling a little bit. Now, they also ebb and flow. We've seen, you know, in the era of Trump, these numbers take off. So you don't know exactly what's going to happen, but we'll see if CNN sticks with him. It would not hurt me at all if he goes away because, as I said, not a fan. So, Shamet, I'll start with you on this one. The Arizona recall, recount is now in, and I'm shocked, but it was not accurate. The vote total was not accurate. Biden actually won by 300 and something more votes.
Of course.
So it wasn't it wasn't accurate. This now it's not going to stop. Look, I think the pillow guy was out there yesterday saying Trump's still going to be back by Thanksgiving. I'm not one that has ever bought into the stolen election. I think that Biden won. I know some people out there aren't going to be happy with that, but he won, and we needed to move on a long time ago. Shamet Dogan, what would you say to that?
Ditto. I mean, you know, the election's been over. You can count, recount. They've done hand recounts in all these states that were contested. Let's just talk about the future, because somebody like me who represents, I hope, the future of the Republican Party wants to talk about how we can provide better public safety, how we can provide better educational opportunities for our students, how we can get just good government back in St. Louis County, which we desperately need, and not talk about this stuff.
And I'm on the elections committee for the state, and we actually had someone testify, and they actually said that, you know, they got into our election in the state of Missouri and there's about 70,000 votes that were turned the wrong way. And of course, my thought was, well, how much did Trump win the state of Missouri by? So are you trying to say Biden should have won the state of Missouri? So that's why I say, and then they're like, well, China's interested in this. I don't think China's interested in Missouri. But what I can say is that 70,000 votes in the state of Missouri wouldn't have moved anything. So I think if you're trying to think that this there was something funny in the state of Missouri.
But here's what's important, because my feeling is we need to have these questions answered. And I think I'm all for the recount. The recount's going to show what it's going to show, but people aren't going to believe it. So then we get to next year or the next presidential election. I don't have a lot of confidence that a majority of the American people will feel confident in the election process, whether that's right or wrong. I just think it's going to be a perception thing, but we have a few more years to shore this up. Does anyone think it's going to satisfy people?
Well, it's an interesting conundrum we're in, because it's the right wing of the Republican Party that's pushing these conspiracies about how these elections are inaccurate, and they're sowing distrust amongst their own base voters, which I find interesting. So, you know, I think the vast majority of people think the elections are running fine. I mean, look, in massive elections when millions of people vote, yeah, there's going to be irregularities of a couple hundred votes here and there. That's why we have recount provisions under various state laws. But the people who think that these elections are rigged or that their votes aren't counting are the far right. So at some point, this is going to come back to bite some of these Republican states and some of these initiatives, because the people that are going to stop voting, by and large, are the folks they need to vote to get into office. It's a crazy, it's an interesting conundrum, Warren.
I don't disagree with Jack on that, Shamet.
Yeah, we need to make it easier and more convenient for people who are eligible to vote and make it harder for people to commit fraud. And we know that fraud happens, but not at the scale that would have moved any of these states. So we need to crack down on, you know, states that are doing things the wrong way. No question about it. But that is not how Joe Biden won in 2020.
Right. And it is important to take a look at the irregularities, and hopefully every state is doing that
right,
in an appropriate way. So we have a most unusual situation in St. Louis, and I don't know how big a baseball fan everyone is in the room. Shamed's got his Cardinals shirt on. I'm a huge baseball fan. My first love was baseball when I was a kid. I played Little League. I grew up in Chicago, but I was not infected with the Cubs virus, and I moved here in 1979, and lo and behold, in 1982, it was a glorious World Series championship, and I've been to three parades since that time. But as of 3 weeks ago, I was done. I was out of here on these Cardinals, because I couldn't, and I don't like to be a fair weather fan, but I couldn't stomach watching terrible baseball after terrible baseball game. And it was sloppy. I don't know what happened. Because I was talking to a friend of mine in Milwaukee yesterday. The Brewers have become what the Cardinals were just 3 weeks ago. I mean, this wasn't that long ago. It was actually Labor Day weekend when the Brewers came back and won a game with a grand slam on that Sunday, making the Cardinals look terrible when they really needed to propel forward. Now we have, I mean, it can't be 2011, Jack, all again.
I don't know. I sure hope it can. I hope it is. As the alderman for downtown with Busch Stadium in my ward and the amount of tax revenue it brings in and the amount of the boost it would give to our self-esteem here in St. Louis. God, I hope this run continues. But yeah, I mean, a few weeks ago, we were sitting saying, well, let's hope the Cardinals just, you know, continue to lose and we can bag this season and rebuild. Now, I mean, it couldn't have shifted in a bigger way. What are we, 13 in a row as of?
Well,
did we win this game or is it still
they
going?
Won the game to set. It's a doubleheader today, but it's now 13 in a row.
So I was so convinced there wouldn't be any fall ball. You know, I was watching everything.
We all were.
I've planned some events for the next couple of weeks in October when normally I wouldn't do that because our Cardinals are, you know, playing ball.
Well, they would have to get by the Dodgers or the Giants in the wild card game, which is going to be epic. But I you never know. I mean, look, this team right now, and it's not a fluke because you have Michaelis back. You're getting Flaherty back, right? He might be pitching the second game. Dave can tell me because he's out there. I love this because I do have a lot of friends from out of town that hate the Cardinals, Milwaukee, Chicago, family members in Chicago. But this drives them crazy because they're like, oh, God, the Cardinals again, right?
This is what we do. Every time we win a World Series, it's a comeback year. It's a year when they've had a terrible few weeks in the summer and we write them off. And then they come storming back and get hot at the right time. So history repeats itself.
Well, you know, there is a lot to the notion that you want to be playing your best at the right time. We've seen NFL teams. I think the Packers, the last time they won the Super Bowl, came in as a wild card team. So you have teams that are playing. Maybe they didn't have the best season, but they're playing right at the best time. That's why getting Michaelis back right now. Flaherty, you got Waino doing his thing. He got kind of saved last night, even though he didn't get the win. But Dylan Carlson right now. And, you know, these bats, Goldschmidt hit another home run today. He hit two yesterday. So now we got multiple players that have 30-plus home runs, or at least at 30 home runs. So it could be a fun October. We will see. And, Jack, I'm rooting for your downtown because that's the best time downtown when people are really excited about coming to playoff baseball, and that place is packed. And, by the way, that place has not been jam-packed this year.
No, it has not. Well, some of that's the poor play we saw out of the Cardinals until recently. And I think COVID still had something to do with
that. But you'd have – I know it's tough because now school's back. I would have to say that there's going to be – and we're heading into the Shannon Celebration weekend also, but some big numbers when they come back home next week.
Oh, for sure. Next weekend, I think, is going to be a big weekend downtown.
The next two weekends, probably some fun. Well, thanks for coming in. We broke a newbie in here, Shamed Dogan, on the panel. Thank you for coming in and taking part. We'll have you back for sure, and good luck with the campaign, which is still a little ways off, but it's nice to have you in person.
Thanks much.
And thanks for sporting the Cardinals jersey. Jack, it's all about the Ryder Cup for you and I this weekend, isn't it?
It's all about the
Ryder
Cup.
And the U.S. is actually doing pretty well,
they're looking
aren't they?
Pretty good. I want it to be close because that makes it a little more exciting, but they're looking pretty good. Justin Thomas can't putt, but
how about
whatever.
He missed a big one today. Yeah. How about the PR move on the part of the Europeans? I had to give them a little mad love the other day out with the Packers.
They got their Packers colors and their cheesehead hats on. Yeah, that was trying to get some... you know, rally some support. It is an interesting Ryder Cup in the sense that, you know, we have very few European fans because of all the travel restrictions.
Right.
So we got, the stands are packed, but it's, you know, it's not the usual sort of half and half.
And it is a beautiful, beautiful golf course. So you played there?
I have not played up there. I'd love to.
And I have not played there. I've been there, but I have not played there.
Let's get a trip. Come on, let's go.
I know, we need to do that. All right, 3:55. Thank you, gang, for coming in. I appreciate it. Donna, have fun at the Rolling Stones.
Absolutely.
All right, we'll see you next time on the Roundtable. 3:55, we'll wrap things up for this hour. When we return, Sue Thomas has Sue's News. It's legendary. And the Friday edition is always, I think, just a little extra special. Channel 5's Dan Buffa in with some movie reviews. Dear Evan Hansen, Scenes from a Marriage, and Kate. And Cusimano joins us in the 4 o'clock hour as well. It's all coming up this afternoon. 97.1 FM Talk.
Get more at 97.1talk.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL Draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.